Okay, let's open our Bibles to Daniel 6. Daniel 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of the government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel, made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I have been found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language and in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that we can come and hear your word. Lord, we just ask that your spirit come guide and direct this time. God, to open our ears and open our hearts to what you're going to speak to each of us corporately and individually, Lord. And so we just ask that you, that your presence be made known to us this morning. And we pray, amen. So just a little bit of a background on the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, though it has a lot of historical narrative. It's actually one of the prophetic books. It takes place during the time of while the people are in exile. And Daniel was highly favored in Babylon and remained faithful to God. And the main thing of this chapter is the law, which is also called a dot, right? In the Hebrew language, it would be called a dot. Oh, actually, in the Aramaic. And these laws were edicts that could not be overturned by the king. Even though he made the law himself, he legally had no ability to change the law. And so here we see Daniel, and Daniel has favor. Daniel has favor with the officials. Well, not the officials, with the king. The officials are jealous. They create this new law, and Daniel then is thrown into the den, and he lives. Right? And so here you have this man who is really, I mean, he is guilty of breaking the law. You can't say he's not, because he was told for 30 days he could only pray to King Darius. But actually, besides that, he is the most righteous man that you can find. Like, they can't find any fault. Now, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think people could say that about me, that they couldn't find any fault, right? Like, they would have to scheme some religious way to find out, you know, like, oh, if she doesn't go to EMP, well, that's, anyways, I won't talk about that. But, you know, she didn't pray it five times a day. You know, things like that. You're not going to, each of us have things about us that someone would be able to be like, oh, they're doing something wrong, right? We can't, but Daniel, they couldn't find anything. There was nothing about Daniel that they could come about and say, King, look, he's not as good as you think he is. You're about to make him rule, you know, like basically just underneath you. And they couldn't find anything, right? And you know what's interesting is Daniel prays in not hiding, but in public. Well, kind of public, like his window's open. They can see that he's praying, right? He's looking towards Jerusalem. And if I was Daniel, I probably would have hid in my bedroom, closed the door, you know, like many Christians do. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. I think in some cases, you know, we're being under persecution. But Daniel did not change who he was, even though the law changed. He remained faithful to God. Right? And so here, they're like, ah, we got it. We knew that he couldn't be unfaithful to God. And we knew it. And so they run to the king. And they're like, they're very clever. They don't start by saying, oh, you're serving Daniel, right? They remind the king of the law, and then they bring up Daniel. And the king's hands are tied. And this king, Darius, he really likes Daniel. And so he's trying to figure out everything he can. But the reality is he has to fulfill this law. They keep saying the laws, like according to the Medes and Persians, right? So they keep reminding him, this is part of what we have to do. And so here we have a dilemma. We have a king who wants to show grace and mercy to Daniel, and yet he has to follow the law. Now, if you pause, you should think, who else faced this same dilemma? God. God faced this exact same dilemma. Do I punish my people for breaking the law, the covenant that I've made with them? Right? He says, if you remain faithful, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be this. But if you fall away from me, I'm paraphrasing, right? But basically, when he's promising them the land of Israel, they said, if you fall against me, you will be kicked out. You're not going to get to stay. There's going to be consequences to your action. But he also made these promises to Abraham that he would bless his seed, that they would multiply, that they would prosper. And so God is in this position of being between, do I keep my promises or do I keep my word about the law? And so here we have this moment of seeing where people have to struggle. We have to look at this like, how does this work out? I mean, we get the benefit of the New Testament. Right? But the Israelites in exile are sitting here going, God, you promised us that we're going to prosper. But then be reminded, oh, wait, but we also messed up. Right? We also, like when you read 1 and 2 Kings, it's a reminder. It's written to them as they're in exile, reminding them, this is how we got into exile. This is how we got here. And so they're stuck. And God, well, a dilemma that he also knows the answer to. God has a plan. And so here we look at Daniel and we see a solution. Basically, God makes the punishment of the law, as I read, toothless. Right? One professor or one article I read basically describes what God does is the law that the king enacted becomes toothless. It doesn't have any true consequence. Right? It happens, but that he lives, he survives. Right? And so because he violates the law, he's thrown into the lion's den, but God shuts the lion's mouth, which doesn't break the law. It doesn't go against the law. In fact, it is the solution to the fulfilling the law, the punishment, but also showing grace and mercy. We see that Daniel is preserved. We see a foreshadow of the resurrection, right? Daniel comes out of the den, and it's kind of this image of Jesus coming out of the tomb. He has been resurrected. And so by making that the law creates no harm against Daniel, you also see Daniel can't be punished again for this. This law is still in place for 30 days, but he's already suffered the consequence. And so therefore, Daniel is free to practice and pray to God. Anyone that would come against him, the king could be like, well, I already did it. He already went to the den. We see what happened. It's cool. It's fine. And so he faced the punishment, and yet he's been set free. There's another time in Scripture that we see the same image taking place, and this is in Exodus 2. Right? We have Moses, right? And the Pharaoh becomes very concerned and worried and fearful of the people, the Hebrew people, because they're growing in number. And he's so afraid that they're going to take over. He's not afraid they're going to leave. He's afraid they're going to take, kind of afraid to leave. He's very afraid of what's going to happen with these people. And so he says, take all the baby boys and throw them into the Nile River. You notice he doesn't say drown them in the Nile River. He says cast them into the Nile River. And so after Moses' mom hides him for as long as she can, she realizes that she's got to do something, because if he's found out, he's going to be thrown into the river. And so she makes this basket, or translated also an ark, and she covers it in pitch and puts her baby in, and she casts them into the Nile River. She follows the law of the Pharaoh. She follows what he says. She doesn't just throw her baby in. But he never said you just had to throw the baby in as is. He just said cast him into the river. And so here, Moses is able to overcome the punishment, the consequence of being born. I mean, all Moses' punishment is that the reason he broke the law is he was born male. That's it. Right? He gets thrown in, and here's Pharaoh's daughter. She comes along, and she pulls him out. And he's already been cast into the Nile. And so therefore, he is free. He's free from the punishment now. He's already been enacted by it. And he goes and lives with the Pharaoh. Scripture is painting a picture to bring to our attention the power of satisfying the law in such a way that the law does no harm, enabling the transgression of the law to be free. Think about it. This is a really bad example, but if you are a mass murderer, right? You've killed 20 people, or you killed 3 people. You only get the death penalty once, right? You don't get 5 death penalties when you go to trial, and you might get 5 life sentences, right? But you never get the death penalty more than once. Once you've died, once you've paid that price, it's over. You can't be re-put to death, right? And if you can overcome death, then you are free from the penalty that the law has placed on you. And so we have this picture of Daniel. We have this picture of Moses overcoming the law. Next week, I'm planning on talking about Esther and how they overcome another law. But we see here that Daniel, God's solution to the Daniel problem is to fulfill the law, to complete the law, but to make the law have no consequence in his life. No actual consequence. And we think about Jesus, right? Jesus does die, but he overcomes. Jesus dies, right? Daniel is giving us this image. See, Daniel's life in and of itself is not, you know, Daniel does prophesy, right? He does actually have prophetic words. But Daniel's life is also prophetic. What he lived through, how he walked, it was an image of what was to come, right? He was a righteous man. They could find no faults in him. Now, if we really think about that, that's probably not true, right? He probably had something, some fault, because he's a human. Who had zero faults? Jesus. They could find nothing truly wrong with Jesus, so they started to use religion against Jesus. And they put him to death. And what God does is, because God, in our own lives as well, God has a law, but he also has grace and promises in our life. And what did he do to overcome the old covenant? Not to make it invalid, but to overcome it. To put into place a way that we can walk in freedom and not under the wrath of the law. He sent Jesus. And Jesus died, but that wasn't the end. And he basically makes Jesus' death and resurrection and overcoming so it has no permanent consequence on Jesus. And when Jesus went on that cross, he took our sins on the cross with him. That if we believe in Jesus, that the law cannot keep us away from God. That the law, the consequence, now that doesn't mean God doesn't discipline us, because we know that's not true. God makes it very clear that he disciplines those he loves. But the law, the punishment of it, has been overcome. And so this morning, as the worship comes up, I want us to reflect on a couple of things. Are we willing to live a righteous life, even if the law forbids it? You know, really, when we think about it, would we be willing? It's easy to say yes, but we live in a city where the law does not put any placements over top of us, right? We are very free to worship God in Hong Kong. At least legally speaking, right? Maybe not in your homes, maybe not with your families, maybe not in your workplaces, there may be stuff. But legally speaking, in Hong Kong, we have the freedom to worship God. But imagine if that freedom was taken away. You know, there's countries where basically they are worshiping their leaders today. It's not that far-fetched. Would we be willing to be like Daniel? Or like Daniel's friends from earlier in the book, where they are thrown into the furnace and their words are, "We trust that our God will save us, but even if he does not, we will not bow down to your idols." Right? Even if it causes your death, are you willing to be righteous? Are you willing to not follow idolatry? Right? Think about idolatry in your life. It's not big statues that Christians face to bow down to, right? We're pretty good at knowing that we shouldn't do that. But are we bowing down to other types of idolatry in our life? You know, Daniel prayed, it didn't say one time. He prayed 3 times a day, right? He was basically, by praying like that, he was saying, "God, you're still first in my life, above and beyond." And he had everything to lose. He was going to become number two, right? Number two, basically, in the entire kingdom. An exile. A man of exile, and he was going to become he was already a great leader of the nation, but he was going to become number two. And yet he was willing to give it all up to follow God. And two, do you truly believe that Jesus took the punishment for you? Do you truly believe that Jesus took the judgment and that we've been set free? Now, I think sometimes we take it very lightly and we continue in our sin, and that's not what God is calling us or giving us permission to do, right? We're like, "Oh, I can, you know, God will forgive me," right? That doesn't really show a lot of love. God, "Oh, I can do this. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal," right? But at the same time, are we still holding on to the sins that we've committed, even though we've asked God for forgiveness? And have we become our own judge and jury? Have we just taken away God's right to judge us for our sin and start to judge ourselves? Right? Jesus is our judge. God is our judge. And if we've asked for forgiveness in our life, we can walk in freedom, not to continue in our sinful ways, but but to walk in a righteous path. And so this morning I want you to think about those two things. Are you living a righteous life? And do you truly live, do you truly believe that you've been set free? And if you haven't, if there's still things in your life that you're holding on to, bring it to God and lay it before Him. And ask Him to help you see that you've been set free. So let's just spend some time worshiping God and reflecting on that.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength in thee is strong. Child of weakness, watch and find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, He washed it white.
God, we thank You that You sent Your Son, Lord. We thank You that You've given us a picture of who You are, who Jesus was, even before Jesus came onto earth, Lord. And we just thank You, God, that You have set us free, Lord, that You paid it once and for all. Lord, we just ask that You help us live righteous lives. God, help us see the areas that we are not walking in Your ways, God, so that we can truly come to look and be like You. God, that we can walk in the freedom that you have given us. And so, Lord, we just pray, God, that we truly know that you have forgiven, that you have set us free. Before we get into our corporate prayer, let's just spend some time just praying, God, thanking God for all that he has done in our life. Lift up those in our community battling cancer. Let's pray for healing. Let's just pray for wisdom for their doctors. Let's pray for their family members walking and friends walking along their side. Let's pray for those who are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery, just for recovery. And let's just pray for God's healing hand over these people. Pray for those who are suffering various illnesses but also need salvation. Let's just pray for both physical and spiritual healing in their lives. Lift up those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's just continue to lift them up and pray for their healing. Pray for those seeking jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors. Let's just pray for just such patience during this time and trusting God's provision as they wait for the next job. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia. Let's pray for Cambodia, Grace, Oasis House, PGNEO. Let's just really pray for the last few days Grace is here in Hong Kong, that she will really just find the rest and just really enjoyment with friends and family here. And Peace Sophia is actually in Israel. Let's just pray for safety and just an amazing time encountering God there. Pray for our mission council. Let's lift up Peace Sam as he leads this team. Let's just pray for just unity and just discernment. Let's just pray that we become more missionally minded as a church, and that this team will just work together in a way that just brings, that they will speak united. Lift up our local outreach teams, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just really pray for God to use us as a church to bring light into the city on just partnership and deep friendships. Let's lift up our SP Fam ministry, foster and adoption, led by Cadence. Let's just really pray for all the babies that our church is currently taking care of. Let's just pray for forever families to be found. Let's just pray for those who will be returning to their birth families, that God will just use, just be with them in that process. And let's pray for the families in this church who are taking care of these babies. Let's just pray for patience and wisdom and just abundance of love. Let's also just pray for more people to step up into this ministry. Pray for our Friday evening gatherings, SPU, SP Youth, and IP. Let's just really pray for God to just fall in those places. Let's pray for more students to come. Let's just pray for God's unity, and let's just pray for just open hearts to God. Let's lift up our Friday house churches, Elements, Go, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's just really pray for just an amazing time of fellowship. Let's pray that they can really spend time breaking down strongholds. Let's just pray for, just openness. And let's just pray for, just that God will be amongst his people tonight. And so, God, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you desire for us to be set free, Lord, that you desire for us to walk in obedience, but just so much of your joy and pleasure over us, Lord. And so, God, we thank you that you're God who is personally involved in our lives. We thank you that you haven't forgotten us. And so, Lord, we thank you for who you are, God. And so today, as we go about our way, Lord, open our eyes to see what you're calling us to do for today, Lord. Give us the energy and the strength for today, God, and just help us be light in this city. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray, amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we hope to see you here on Sunday.